Last time I was with you, I told you all about our plans for the Rhondda Heritage Hour, about how it will be broadcast throughout 2024, every Wednesday afternoon from 3 o'clock on Rhondda Radio, and about how it's part of the Rhondda Heritage Project, a scheme which Rhondda Radio is running thanks to a major grant it's won from the National Lottery Heritage Fund. I explained that the Rhondda Heritage Project is not just the Heritage Hours themselves and the storytelling workshops which have produced much of the wonderful content that you can listen to during those hours, the stories and memories and anecdotes recorded by Rhondda people. No, there's more, because the Heritage Project will also involve the mapping out later this year of a heritage trail linking 12 stations at historic sites up and down the Rhondda Fawr and the Rhondda Fach. Yes, I told you all about the Rhondda Heritage Hour and the Rhondda Heritage Project, but it's occurred to me that I didn't say so much about the Rhondda itself, about the history of our valley, the history which gives us that heritage that we're so proud of. So this time, I'm going to give you a potted history of the Rhondda from its earliest beginnings, and I'm going to try to explain what it feels like for someone of my generation to lay claim to that heritage. Can I do all of that in the few minutes we have together? Let me try. Early Victorian travellers to the Rhondda, which was destined to become the most famous of all Welsh mining valleys, were overwhelmed by its sublime beauty. But beneath this scarcely populated rural paradise which they saw, lay the world's finest steam coal. Within a generation of its discovery, the Rhondda had been utterly transformed. Bare moorland still enfolded it, but every inch of the valley floor was colonised by voracious, swaggering humanity. By the time of the Great War, well over 150,000 souls had poured into this cauldron, a rate of growth rivalled worldwide only by New York and Chicago. This new American Rhondda was a linear city, 12 miles long, running north to south from Blaen Rhondda to Trehafford, another 8 miles forking northeast from the gateway of Porth up to Mardy. A linear city in a thoroughly modern milieu, trendy shopping emporia, top-class entertainment venues, state-of-the-art sports stadia, and a network of electric tram cars running the length of the Twin Valleys. Add to that a heady mix of progressive education, religious fervour, and articulate radical politics. There was music in the cafes at night, as well as in the chapels, and revolution in the air. The industrial disputes of the 1920s and the depression of the 1930s knocked the stuffing out of all that. Joblessness visited the Rhondda, poverty, hunger. It became Heartbreak Valley. The Second World War saw a brief uptick, but by the time I was born in 1957, only a dozen or so of the Rhondda's 79 mines were still cutting coal. So I grew up in a strange, partly ruined, but once mighty metropolis. The river still ran black through it, despite the worked-out seams of the Black Diamond. There was deprivation, delinquency, dereliction all over the shop, all over the shops. And yet, the Rhondda of my childhood still sang with a brio that was far more than plain defiance. The communal values of looking out for each other, standing by each other, standing with each other, had been imprinted deep. Hard work and hard times forged our temperaments, fired our souls. Rhondda people shared a bond, a camaraderie that seemed so natural to us, but was so hard won. In its struggles and campaigns, this valley had glimpsed a better way of organising the world, a fairer, more noble way of living, and it did more than remember it. It lived it still. It ached for fair play. But Rhondda's egalitarianism was never content to be reduced to a flat, standardised formula for sharing out the world's miserable pittance. Oh no, one of the things I've always loved about my valley is how colourful it was, how colourful it is. How green was my valley? It was never just green. And it still is, every shade of the rainbow, full of character, full of characters. It's seen dark days and troubled times for sure, but it's always risen above them. There's another side to the Rhondda, you see, the bizarre, the absurd, the joyful, everything that lifts life here out of the drab and the grey. The hoyle, the carnival of valley's life, brass bands and jazz bands, streaky snooker players and dead-eye darters, jokers and dreamers, painters and pop stars, harpists and champion leek growers. And my Uncle Len, the surreal black comedy of the whole shooting match. All of this, and more, is what life in the Rhondda is made of. Forget any of it, and you diminish it all. So there. That's the backstory we're celebrating in the Rhondda Heritage Project. It's quite something, isn't it? And perhaps I flatter myself, but you might just be thinking it was all very well expressed, almost like it was written down in a book. Well, that's because it is written down in a book which I like to think of as a companion piece to the Rhondda Heritage Hour. The book is called Up the Rhondda. Good title, isn't it? And if you heard some hoyle in the way I said, up the Rhondda, almost as though there was an exclamation mark at the end, well, that's because there is an exclamation mark at the end. Up the Rhondda, exclamation mark. The publishers are Erlolva, and you can find the book on their website, which is erlolva.com. That's Y-L-O-L-F-A.com. YLOLFA.com. Up the Rhondda contains much more than a potted history of the valley, of course. It takes us on a nostalgic journey down crazily angled terrace streets, on magical mountain walks, to brachy cafes, and with teenage sweethearts to see Rhondda heroes on the silver screen. We meet eccentric schoolteachers, working-class billionaires, and the man who invented Corona Pop. It's a real kaleidoscope of Rhondda life. But I like to think it's more than just a catalogue of heroes. I think it comes together as a picture of Rhondda dynamism, as a portrait of a people who have agency, who have a grip on their own lives and their own world. It's a book about the values the valley has invented and imagined, the values it's lived by, and about how some of those values might help guide not just the Rhondda, but perhaps the whole nation, the whole of humanity even, towards a better future. So as you keep listening to the Rhondda Heritage Hour this year, you might also want to dip into the stories collected in the book. The title again, Up the Rhondda, with an exclamation mark. The publishers are Erlolva at erlolva.com, Y-L-O-L-F-A.com. Oh, and I nearly forgot. The author. It's me, John Geraint. John on the Rhondda.